Good morning. Last time I was in this spot, it was really hot. And I said to Kat, if we don't advertise that we're going to have ice water and fans, nobody's going to come back. Thank you for coming back, and I'm so delighted that it's so much cooler today. If you decide on this cooler Sunday that you still would like some lemon water, you just feel free to help yourself right outside this door. And when it gets so hot, we will try to have that ready. Oh, good. Oh, yes. That good. I'm glad you're enjoying that, Ashley. We're delighted that you are here with us online or here in person. Each of you enrich our worship time together. We've got some great news. Stacy's spinal surgery went smoothly on Tuesday, and she is coming home today. So we are delighted for that good news. Rob and Charlie and Paul, we are thinking of you and praying for you now as Stacy comes home. Thank you for continuing to give her good care and love. We're also holding Phil White and her family, especially Nancy and Carolyn and Susie, in our hearts as Phil continues to receive hospice care. We know they are offering good love and care too, and so we keep them in our prayers. I want to draw your attention to a couple of things in your bulletin, in the announcement section. We have a youth gathering coming up next Sunday. We're inviting a paint and pour company is going to come. We're going to have smoothies while we create a painting of the Mackinac Bridge. So all youth are invited to my house next week on Sunday evening. I hope you received your invitation. If not, let me know. And then we also have a gathering in 2 weeks. For those who are interested in exploring next steps with our church, if you're interested in membership, learning more about that, exploring all different ways to engage with the life of our church here, you'll see more about that in the bulletin, and we invite you to join us in 2 weeks on the 28th. My last announcement for this morning is that I am in the season of building a robust team for children's ministry. And so if you would like to join me and the children and have tender, holy times as we wonder together and create together and listen to the stories of God's love, I invite you to connect with me. I'd be really happy to plug you in and have you get to experience the tender, holy times we have with children here at First Baptist. So feel free to connect with me if you're interested in that. I often talk about my job as that I have the honor and privilege of doing everything I can to support the gospel being preached here the way Stacy and Paul preach it. And Stacy, you may have seen, has been reflecting from the hospital bed. And I couldn't figure out a better call to worship than what Stacy has been writing from her hospital bed. So I asked her permission. I said, I'd like to share what you wrote this week as our way of entering into worship. So here's a little piece from her reflection this week. And an invitation to you to enter into a space of worship. Let's meet at that edge, the fragile edge of tender, where we lay down our pretense and pretensions, our hardened defenses and casual bigotries, our sloppy, shallow drifting through this one life we have. Let's meet out there at that tenderness and lay it all down. Get real with ourselves and each other, and then get kind with ourselves and each other. So let us now, as we worship, lay ourselves in that tenderness. Let's meet each other there. Let's meet God there. With kindness and goodness and love. Let us worship at that edge.
Would you stand, if you are able, for our invocation? Let us pray together. God of all creation, we come before you with thanksgiving and praise. We offer ourselves as humble servants in need of your forgiveness and steadfast love. We ask that you help us to have more faith, to believe in your goodness and mercy, and to know that you are God and we should not fear. We pray today that you give us the courage to believe in and practice justice among your people, to love kindness, and to walk in humbleness this hour and each day with you. Amen.
Thank you.
Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. The word of the Lord. Give ear, shepherd of your people, you who lead us like a flock.
You who are enthroned in the praises of heaven, shine before us.
Restore us, O God.
Let your face shine that we may be saved.
You have fed your people with the bread of tears and given them tears in abundance to drink. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we might be saved.
Been to come up here for time as children. Good morning. Welcome. Hi, Lyra. Hi, Emma. Here comes Emery. It's so good to see you guys. Oh, hi, James. I see you're here. Hi, Emma. That's good. Can you guys just, I don't know. What's happening? What is happening? Is it my job to sleep right now? Oh, I love to take naps. Should I take a nap right now during church while we're having time to get... What? No, I shouldn't. What's going on? Oh, this is not a sleeping time. Although I love a nap. What? I do love, Piper says, yes, you do. I do love a nap. You know what we heard today? Miss Bonnie said that God doesn't slumber. Slumber is another way to say sleep. Can you imagine if God was watching over us and all of a sudden God said, oh, hold on a second. Wait, wake up, God. No, we don't have to ask God to wake up because we hear today that God is always with us. God doesn't say, oh, hold on a second. Let me go take a nap. Or, I'm really tired, so go figure it out yourselves. You're on your own. No, today we hear that God never slumbers. God is always awake and alert and with us. I love that about God. Can you all pretend to sleep? Can you all pretend to sleep? And then you say, no, wake up. Can you say, God is always awake? Can you say that after me? God is always awake. Yeah, God's always awake. And can you repeat after me? God is always with us. Oh, that's such a gift. I'm so glad. As much as I love to sleep on my pillow, I am so glad that God never slumbers, that God is always with you and you and you and you and you and you, Emery, and you, Piper, and you too, Jillian. God is always with you. Let's pray together. God, some of us love naps. Some of us resist naps. And God, we're grateful that you don't take naps. Thank you for always being with us, being awake, being ready, being right by our side. We are grateful. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, let's head off to children's ministry together.
Let's listen now to words from the New Testament letter to the Hebrews. These words are written after the author of Hebrews has told the story of Abraham walking by faith and then followed that story with many, many other stories of people from long ago who lived faithfully. And then he says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of the Lord.
I invite you to pray with me as I use the words from this book in my heart, a book of feelings. Let's pray. Loving God, our hearts are full of feelings. Big feelings and small feelings, loud feelings and quiet feelings, quick feelings and slow feelings. Our heart is like a house, and all these feelings live inside. Sometimes our hearts feel like a big yellow star, shiny and bright. We smile from ear to ear and twirl around so fast, we feel as if we could take off into the sky. God, this is when our hearts are happy. Thank you for meeting us then. Other times, our hearts feel strong. We stand up tall as if we can touch the clouds. New people and places don't frighten us. We can do it. Watch us go. This is when our hearts are brave. See God loving your heart when you feel brave. And when we get really angry, our hearts feel as if they're going to explode. Don't come near me. Our hearts are yelling hot and loud. This is when our hearts are mad. Thank you. Thank you, God, for being near us, with us, meeting us where we are when we're mad. But other times, our hearts are cool. We bob along gently like a balloon on a string. Our hearts feel maybe lazy and slow, as quiet as snowfall. This is when our hearts are calm. On harder days, mean words hurt our feelings, and our hearts feel hurt too. We're fragile and we're delicate. But our hearts can be healed. This is when our heart is broken. God, we bring our broken hearts before you today. Some days, our hearts feel as heavy as an elephant. There's a dark cloud over our heads, and tears fall like rain. This is when our hearts are sad. But my heart doesn't stay sad. Our hearts don't stay sad. Like springtime after winter, the sun comes out again. Our hearts grow tall like a plant reaching toward the sky. God, with you, our hearts feel hopeful. Yeek! When we see something scary, our heart beats fast. We feel cold, as if a chilly breeze has crawled up our necks, and we run away as fast as we can. This is when our hearts are afraid. Thank you, God, for meeting us there. And when it's time for a bit of fun, our hearts feel full of giggles and wiggles. I hop around like a bouncy bunny. God, our hearts sometimes feel silly. And sometimes we hide our hearts away where no one can see, like our own small treasure. We don't want anyone else to look at us. Safe on the swing, we can watch the world from up above. Sometimes, God, our hearts are shy. Our hearts can feel so many feelings. God, we thank you for meeting us where we are, with all of our feelings. We thank you that you do not slumber, that you are with us. God, we now name those we know to name before you. We pray for healing and wholeness for Stacy, for Phil White, for Ron Tipton, for Joe and Kathy Mortensen, who we've been praying for already and are now also dealing with COVID. We pray for Audrey Bond and Dave Lampkin, for Esther Floyd, Marilyn Marsh, Laura Parmalee. We pray for Maria Piriantozzi, for Owen Stearns, for Sandra DeLine. God, we ask for your healing for Kelly Wilson and Michael Renning, for Mrs. Essie Slaughter, for Ulysses Slaughter Jr., for Mia Germano, for Del Jones, for Katie Mason. God, we ask that you be with Tom and Terry Rubenstein, John Rowe, Faye Key, Leah Grange, Lisa Hesse, Carl Jacobson, Chris Ledyard Argus, and Maren Broger. Loving God, we lay ourselves and all those we love and all those throughout the world in your tender care. Thank you for meeting us here with kindness and goodness and love. And now we continue to pray together as we listen to Sam sing the words that Jesus taught us to pray. I invite you to pray as we listen now.
Sam, we're going to need you to come back and do that every Sunday. Let us pray. Oh God, let each one of us, as we are now enabled, listen deeply to the Spirit's word beneath a sermon's inadequate word. And may what we hear from the Spirit redirect our lives, return us to our joy, and to our real work in your world. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. About a week and a half ago, I wrote an email to a friend in this church and included a brief description of my family's recent vacation at the beach in Florida. I told her there were 17 of us in one house, all four of my children and the spouses of two of them and my niece and her family and all manner of kids from 18 years down to 5 months. And then I added, and I, in my own goofball way, was the Father Abraham of the whole kit and caboodle. Picture us all in a 19th century style brown tilted photograph, me with a longer white beard sitting at the center of the big family, trying very unsuccessfully to look somber. And half a week later, my friend replied last Sunday afternoon and said, "Your Paul as Abraham reference really takes on new meaning after having heard your sermon today. Faith in the face of terra incognita, the unknown world." And I was taken aback to read this. You may or may not know that the sermon last week was based on the story of Abraham pushing on through the unknown. And during the very days I was preparing that sermon, I also wrote that silly description of me as Father Abraham, not even aware of the connection. I mean, the sermon says, "Look at struggling Abraham." The email says, "I'm Father Abraham." Ha ha. It didn't even dawn on me, the connection my unconscious mind, my poor, poor mind, was making. My friend noticed. A good therapist would certainly have noticed and might have said, "Is it possible that means anything to you?" Well, it probably does say something about my personal situation. It most certainly says something about my foggy brain. But it also strikes me as yet another instance of our collective inability to see. The old stories are displaying pictures of us. What we're going through, what we have done and not yet done, what we might yet face, what we might yet become. That when some character in the Bible is struggling, that's our struggle. That their longings and passions and mistakes and sins and opportunities and triumphs are to be recognized as our longings and passions and mistakes and sins and opportunities and triumphs, at least potentially. So thank God so many of those people made it through, that they did live into their calling, no matter how imperfectly, that their lives became mostly a witness to the light. And that all of it is truly possible for us in our own way, in our own rather different time, and that this is God's desire for the world and for us. In our own very different contemporary ways, you and I are Sarah and Abraham. You and I are Miriam and Moses, Joseph and Mary, Simon Peter and John, and as with them, all of it would be for the sake of the world in our time. For our own sakes, too. And so the New Testament letter to the Hebrews, as we have already heard this morning, holds up this fantastic image of this dynamic. It lays out a long, long list of ancient names and stories, men and women from long ago whose lives were lived in the end as faithful. All of them pressing on in faith, all of them dying without having received the promises, but seeing them and greeting them from afar. But then the text suddenly swings the spotlight from them to us and says, seeing then that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us run with perseverance the race set before us. So here we look around us and see suddenly we are in a gigantic stadium. Really big one, bigger than the big house. And we are on the field. And the stands all around us and above us are packed. The whole crowd is looking at us. We see that we are now standing on a starting line, and we realize we're here to run a race of our own. And the course ahead of us does not look easy at all. It is filled with hazards, hurdles, obstacles, challenges. It goes uphill in places, and it goes on and on for a long, long way. Our English translations have it, the race before us, but the original word is agon. Agon, from which comes our word agony. The challenge is before us to live authentically and courageously and faithfully is hard, because much in the world is against the way to which we are called. And there is much inside most of us that resists that way as well. We will all feel at times like giving up on what we know to be right, shrugging off the high calling, walking away from love's high claim on our lives. This is why the text reminds us that faithful living will require from everybody perseverance. Let us run with perseverance the race set before us. God will not work miracles to make the way easy or relieve us from the difficult soul work that is ours to do. So we're to run with perseverance as he perseveres to say the word. And perseverance rarely comes without partners of one kind or another. And we have them. Perseverance also doesn't work very well if we're loaded down with stuff that ruins the project. If the race is hard, how absurd to carry big piles of baggage that hold us back. So our text adds, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Lay aside the baggage, the sin. What baggage? Could be all manner of unworthy attachments. Could be ambition or pride or addictions or self-loathing. It could be that kind of being sick to death of the world as it is, so much that we are paralyzed with despair. Or the baggage could be wanting what doesn't belong to us, or resentment, or always looking backward at the past. Or it could be that curled up inwardly paltriness of soul that refuses to dream the dreams of God. Robert Bly said, we all have a little anxiety belt, an anxiety bag that hangs from our belts, and that every time something threatens us, we slip something into the anxiety bag. And by the time most of us are 50, the bag's 100 yards long, dragging behind us, getting stuck in elevator doors. The same can be said of an institution. It can most certainly be said of a church. And friends, it can be said of absolutely any one of us that we have been loading ourselves down and permitting others to load us down in such a way that we are not living the life we are given right now to live. So let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, to run the race before us now. And we do it together. Partners. Calling out encouragement to each other. Picking each other up when we fall. Helping each other. Because all of us need that. This is not a race meant to be run solo. If the great company of fellow travel, it's the great company of fellow travelers that make the race doable and that also make it fun. Have you heard why it is that mountain climbers tie themselves to each other? It's so that the sane ones won't go home. But this fellowship of encouragement, the fellowship of encouragement is far bigger than us. Take a look now again into the stands of this stadium and see who has come to cheer for us. They're all there, all the people who ran the race before we did. These are the great cloud of witnesses. They are countless and they are beautiful. They are every color, every ethnicity, every generation and gender and historical time, and all of them standing, shining, calling to us. Look, there's old Abraham after all, and Sarah with him. They're laughing and waving diapers. There's Miriam dancing, and Moses with his staff saying, "Don't murmur, move." There's Peter waving his fishing net, David playing his harp like electric guitar. There's Martha waving her apron, and there's Mary Magdalene, eyes shining. And then there's Francis of Assisi with a bird on his shoulder and Martin Luther banging his beer stein on the rail. And John Calvin cheering decently and in order. And there is J.S. Bach and Mozart and Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman and C.S. Lewis lifting his pipe. There's Gandhi and Rumi, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Marian Anderson, Martin Luther King Jr., John Lewis, James Baldwin, Abraham Joshua Heschel, Mother Teresa, Dorothy Day, Mahalia Jackson, Aretha Franklin, Billy Graham, Harvey Milk, Mary Oliver, Desmond Tutu, Nelson Mandela, Oscar Romero. I see my mother. I see my dad. And my brother. All there. All shining. Who do you see? Whom do you see? Parents? Grandparents? Cherished loved ones? Inspiring teachers, mentors, good friends, heroes, all finished with their race and all on their feet to cheer you, to cheer us all on. And someone else is there. He stands above the finish line, his face fierce with joy, still shining with the sweat of the race he ran. His arms are open wide and he's calling out to us two words over and over, "Follow me, follow me." And the crowd takes it up like a chant, "Follow me." It is all right that we cannot see the whole way ahead of us. It is all right that some of it is real struggle. And it is all right that not everybody is coming with us. Look to the cloud of witnesses. Look who is around us. See who is before us. Take heart at who is in it with us. How can we not press on with perseverance for the thrill of the race that now lies before us? So much is ours to give. So much is invited and required for us to give, including what we possess, including our minds, the days that lie ahead. Let us, in these moments of reflection and of hearing once more the music of the good news, make every offering that is ours to make. As reconciled children of God, beloved, let us share with one another the gifts of God's own peace. May the peace of Christ be with you. You may be seated. We have a custom here of when someone or someones is leaving us, perhaps leaving us for a long, long while, sometimes leaving us for a briefer time, but in any case, no longer regularly visible among us, and we have been told of it, we recognize and say our blessing and our love as we say farewell for now. And we've got one of those today that's pretty hard for one of us. Rob Duke. You have been part of this church family since your age plus several months. Not just your parents, but this church family has watched you grow and mature and give all kinds of great gifts here. You know all the reasons we love you. I won't get into it. Rob leaves on Wednesday, and we, his family, are getting to take him there for Furman University in Greenville, South Carolina, where he will begin his freshman year at college. He will return to us on a regular basis. We will haul him back as word from the dean demands. Rob, we can't wait for your visits back home, but we mark today as an important day of transition for us, for you, and your membership of this church family. Thank you for everything you've given this church. And this church joins me in blessing and loving for the long, long road. We love you. You can applaud. And now receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's own countenance be lifted upon you and give you every grace. Grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to give something big for something good. Grace to know that the world is now too small for anything but truth, too dangerous for anything but love. So may Christ take your minds and think through them. May Christ take your lips and speak through them. May Christ take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.